Thought Guy.
3, 2, 1.
Once again, happy Easter. I want to talk a little bit about what we've been doing so far this year. So stepping into the unknown, the silence, as we did in the guided meditation, we get on this path that's less traveled, the road not always taken, to paraphrase Robert Frost. And in this year of awakening, we are now entering our fourth month in our theme of awakening. We have stepped into believing it. That's what we did in January. We talked about believing in this awakening. And then in February, we talked about loving it, loving the awakening, having feelings about it, in bringing it into our lives. Then we observed it during March. We observed how it's working, what we do to make it work. Now it's time in April to declutter this idea of awakening, of revealing the divinity that is within each and every one of us. And we do that, first of all, with joy. Now, let me go back a little bit about what we believe. We believe in the eternality, the immortality, and the continuity of the individual soul forever expanding, right? We are connected to this power and presence that is in the universe. And we believe that we experience this expansion, and it's a continuous expansion, just like the universe is continuously expanding. We experience this expansion to the degree that we become conscious of it. And that's what we're doing this year. We are awakening to it. We are becoming more conscious of this power and presence that is right here waiting for us to reveal it in our lives. And when we're doing that, we are awakening to its wisdom and allowing ourselves to be free from discord of any nature in any part of our lives. And if we step away from that awareness, which many of us do at one time or another, it's always there to resurrect itself in our lives. All we have to do is call for it. All we have to do is allow the death of the lack and limitation, et cetera, the addiction that gets in our way. Now, Easter celebrates this presence, this power, this love, and this wisdom that was individualized in someone who believed this idea, this philosophy, this teaching. Now, he is called by many the great exception. His name was Yeshua ben Yosef, Joshua, son of Joseph. Now, Joshua was his Hebrew name, his given Hebrew name, and that was a very common name at the time. And then this Yeshua, many people speak his name as Jesus, but his name was Yeshua. He grew up to become a radical evolutionary. He dared to go against the grain of not only the Jewish religion, but the Jewish establishment. You might say he was the first Reform Jew, or the first New Thought Jew, I guess. In Matthew 5:17, Yeshua was quoted as saying, "Don't misunderstand why I have come. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purpose." Now, did he walk on water? I don't know. Did he raise Lazarus from the grave, from the dead? I don't know. Did he heal the sick and disease and multiply the loaves and the fishes? I don't know. And I don't really care. At least to me, it doesn't matter that all those things happened or not, to appreciate him, to appreciate what Yeshua came to do and to be and his purpose in life. What matters really is the lessons that are written in the Gospels, some of the Gospels that are in the New Testament and the other Gospels that aren't in the New Testament, and how those Gospels spoke through him. So here's a guy who taught joy. He taught joy all the time. Now, remember, to me, joy is not about happiness. Happiness is a state of mind, a mood that comes and goes depending on the experience you're having at the time. Joy is a state of belief. Joy is a state of being. Joy, to me, is found in the deep connection to God. The deep connection to God, the true source and substance of all the experiences we go through, may or may not be happy, but they all come through joy. They all come through that communion with the divine, not just up and down, but all around. The man called Jesus lived his life on purpose, lived his life teaching and being this, revealing the divinity that was in each and every one of us. So, real quickly, who was this long-haired Jew that most of the world commemorates today, and why the story of this simple guy is so important as an example to all of us? This is one of the big days to talk about that. So let me quickly go through that. Yeshua was a way shower, and he lived the teaching that Ezekiel wrote about in chapter 36, 26 of the prophet's book. And he said, a new heart will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, a consciousness full of feeling and in a rhythm with and vibrating at the speed of the divine. That's what Jesus was teaching. He was a radical, nonviolent revolutionary who hung out with lepers and prostitutes, rich men, poor men, young and old. It mattered not, because forgiveness was his game. And he taught us to forgive 70 times 7 as often and as long as it took to teach and reach the resurrection of the daily use of our highest self. Using forgiveness is key. He was a brown-skinned Middle Eastern Jew that didn't speak English. He didn't even speak Greek or Latin. He spoke Aramaic. I'm not even sure he even spoke Hebrew. Aramaic is very close to Hebrew. But he was a homeless community organizer, and you can see that in the stories about him. He was a healer that never asked for a copay, like we get asked, only that you believed in your healing. He talked about, it's not me healing, you're doing the healing. It's your belief in me doing what I'm doing that the healing takes place. Just like when you go to a practitioner or a minister and ask for spiritual counseling or a spiritual mind treatment. We don't necessarily have these special powers. What we do know and what we do provide is knowing the truth for you. And to the extent of your consciousness and belief in this truth is how it shows up in your life. He didn't teach against birth control or abortion. He didn't even mention that stuff. He didn't teach the death penalty or torture as being acceptable. He didn't even teach baptism, according to John 4. He didn't teach the Holy Communion as a sacred ritual. He didn't teach anything, didn't even talk anything about sexuality. He didn't teach that wealth made you a more successful person or less wealth made you a less successful person. He didn't teach the concept of hell or really heaven as a place that you go to or something in the afterlife, somewhere in the skies. He didn't teach any of that. He didn't teach the concept of original sin or speak of man's fall from God's grace. He didn't get into any of that. What he did teach is oneness, a respect for one another, no matter the social standing, that love was the only way, that purifying the soul was capable at all times in your life, no matter what happened, through forgiveness. Not just about forgiveness of another person who supposedly did something at you or to you, but forgiving yourself. or either being in that situation or whatever requires forgiveness, that cleanses your soul, that opens you up to manifesting into your life those fabulous things and ideas that you want to demonstrate. He taught that the power and presence of the divine was within. From Luke 18:21, he wrote, "The kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you." Manifesting, like I said, he taught, was through belief or faith or consciousness, through right thinking. Usually you see it as righteousness in biblical terms, but right thinking and the power of our perceptions, like that we talked about all last year, the power of our perceptions is the key to life's experiences. Here's a few quotes. "Your faith has healed you," he said. "If you have the faith the size of a mustard seed," he talked about, "and let it be to you according to your belief." You'll find those ideas in Luke 17, 19, Mark 5, 34, Matthew 17, 20, and Matthew 9, 29. "If you have the faith of a mustard seed, how powerful you are, because the mustard seed grows from this teeny, teeny, tiny seed into a 9-foot tree." He taught that if you speak the gospel, now the word gospel means a joyous word. So we're talking about prayer. So when you pray, revealing the divine counsel that is already within you, calling upon that truth, calling upon that inspiration, which is available to you at all times, things will show up. The ideas, the next action you need to take, or the thing that you've decided you require in your life. And he talked about that in Matthew 6, 9 through 13, and Luke 11. 2 through 4. "God is like a beloved parent," he said, "the ever-present counsel that created all and is in all and does the heavy lifting through the law of cause and effect." He talked about that in Matthew 6, 9 through 13, and Luke 11, 2 through 4. Read the Lord's Prayer. Better yet, you read my version of the Lord's Prayer, translated from the original Aramaic. He taught that prayer is a personal communion between oneself and the divine. He wrote in Matthew 6, or it was written in Matthew 6, 5 through 6, "Go into your inner room and lock the door, and do not pray to be seen of that or that others could hear." It's an internal thing. It's a personal thing. Yes, I know we do spiritual mind treatments and prayers during the celebration. But when you pray for your own self, or when you pray for others in your life, you do that within. It is a personal communion with the divine. Personal communion. Jesus taught that. He also taught the divine light and the inner light are the same. As you might remember in Matthew 5, 14 through 16, if you've read the New Testament, it says, "You are the light of the world. Give light to all who are in the house. And let your life so shine before men that they may see your good works." You also heard that in the musical Godspell. He taught non-judgment, non-resistant, detachment, and release, just like the Buddha did. In the parables of the rich man and young man, the parable of the woman caught in adultery and the Pharisees in the temple. He taught the law of abundance. He said, it is said in John 10:30 that he said, "I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That's what I came to teach," he says. And he also taught the way of overcoming obstacles is through surrendering to the higher power, which comes through communing with our highest self. I want to read a little quote to you from Richard Rohr from his book, Universal Christ. He wrote, "Jesus's many parables of the kingdom lean heavily on the language of growth and development. His common metaphors for growth are the seed, the growing ear of corn, weeds and wheat growing together, and the rising of yeast. His parable of the reign of God are about finding, discovering, being surprised, experiencing reversals of expectations, changing roles and status. None of these notions are static. They are always about something new and good coming into being. My friends, on this last day of Pesach, this day of resurrection celebrated in the holiday of Easter, let us let any evil in our lives, any evil ideas, any evil notions, and by evil, I don't mean something outside of ourselves. I mean evil ideas we have decided to accept somehow. Let them pass over by sacrificing this lack and limitation in whatever way it shows up, hate and judgment, whatever way it shows up, and have an exodus from that kind of bondage. Not this kind, from that kind of bondage, meaning what's behind us, the stories behind us. Elaine Pagel reminds us that the Gospel of Thomas talks about how you must go in a sort of spiritual quest of your own to discover who you are and to discover really that you are a child of God. You are the child of God, just like Jesus, just like Yeshua. You are the child of God, a perfect idea to blossom this spring, don't you think? To remember that you are the light of the world. Actively resurrect your greatest self. Actively do it by stepping into joy, by tapping into the truth every day, and then taking action on what you hear in the silence. The silence, there is peace. In the silence, there's unspoken joy. In the silence, there's release from a world, from ideas, from old stories of chaos and noise. Let's get some joy communing with our innermost and highest light. And not only know our truth, but live it, just like Yeshua taught. Thank you so much. Namaste.